point. Take the 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 point. Hey everybody, welcome to week three, the podcast, Take the Points. I'm Tom Z in Connecticut, and I'm here with Dan P over in Phoenix. Dan, there is no such thing as a bad week of college football.
No, that's a valid point. Every week's a good week, even if you sometimes accidentally say it to your co-host before the show starts. You may apologize on air to begin the segment.
No, you know, I was actually referring to week two, which was supposed to be like a down week for games. Technically, there was only, I think, three what you would call big games last week. And True. The word big is sort of debatable. But turned out there was a hell of a lot of good stuff. So
yeah,
where would you like to start for the review?
Wow, it was a wild week. I want to start with Auburn. Overtime against Jacksonville State. That would have been one of the biggest... That would have been the single biggest upset in the history of college football. It would have been bigger than Stanford in 2007, covering a 39.5-point spread, I believe, or 37.5. I believe Appalachian State might have – no, I got it. Appalachian State over Michigan, 37.5. Stanford over USC, 39.5. And this was 42.5, and everyone was in shock. I mean, obviously, there were some questionable calls from Jacksonville State down the stretch. I hated that play call on 3rd and 4. They had the ball trying to run out the clock, and they had a 3rd and 4 on, like, Auburn territory, pretty deep, about 25-yard line, and they went with a very standard vanilla handoff that had no chance. And I would have liked to see them, actually take one chance and make a pass, and then you can kneel down and win the game. I mean, Auburn was going to lose, so... That was bad, but, everyone's like, oh, Auburn sucks. Well, maybe not. We don't know yet, but it's a win early. People aren't going to hold this against them if they're still undefeated, so don't worry about that if you're an Auburn fan. But it was very surprising, to say the least, and concerning as well.
Yeah, people like to overreact, and it's a little too early to overreact or to name who's great and who's bad, but I'd be very concerned if I was an Auburn fan. They did not look good at all. Johnson doesn't look like a great QB. I mean, it looks like a huge downgrade from Nick Marshall. And he was supposed to be a 6'5", like NFL caliber stud. So I'd be very, very concerned if I were an Auburn fan. Or if I hosted a podcast where we picked Auburn to make the playoff out of the SEC.
Very true.
But I've got some retractions this week, Dan, but... I think I'll save them until we get to those teams.
Sounds good to me.
So let's go to Oregon, Michigan State. The one thing I'll say in favor of Oregon, Braylon Addison looked great in that game. And I just kept thinking, imagine if he had played in the national title game. I'm not saying they would have won, but that would have been a lot more competitive, even if Mariota had one, stud receiver. Would have been a different type of game. But anyway, Oregon, even though they kept it close and lost by 3, they definitely looked outmatched to me. Michigan State shoved them around. Same thing that happens when Oregon plays an SEC team. They sort of get pushed around, and I thought Michigan State was more physical. They had the better quarterback, better defense, better receiver. Well, debatable who had the better receivers. The run game was similar, but Michigan State looks like a top team, and Oregon looks like, maybe around 10th in the country. Good, but not great.
Yeah, I completely agree with just about everything you said there. Michigan State's a good, physical, smart, well-coached team with a NFL quarterback. They will be involved in the playoff mix one way or the other. It's pretty clear. On the other side, Oregon, I think as an Oregon fan, I've come to terms that Oregon's never going to win a national title playing how they do.
No, why not?
It's impossible. It's too much speed. They have way too many injuries. They have a ton of injuries every year. I mean, you're talking about the national title game with Addison. He was out
seven starters out for that game.
Exactly. You're right. I was thinking, is it 6 or 7? You're right. 7 starters were out. Bunch of injuries this year in the wide receiving core. It's something about how either they are moving around too much and they're smaller players and they're getting hit in practice. It's too fast to practice or too fast to tempo. Too many hits, something's going on in Oregon, too many injuries, not enough physicality, and they're always going to be a fun team with cool uniforms, scores a lot of points, but when push comes to shove, I can't see them winning a national title how, you know, it's going now in 2015 with the playoff. They're going to have to beat two powerhouse teams to win a national title instead of one. I don't think they can win two physical games in a week.
The knock I've always had on Oregon the last few years, and I'll hold off on saying whether it's true again this year, is that when they meet a physical team, they just get pushed around. And the style of play, here's my problem with their style of play, is that it works great when you're playing, say, Cal or Washington State and you're running all over the field. But when you play a Stanford or USC in the good years or LSU, Alabama, Auburn, they stop you, the line pushes you around, and all of a sudden the quick scoring, quick moving offense becomes a negative. You're three and out and you took 12 seconds off the clock and then your defense is back on the field. Oregon's defense has improved greatly in the last 10 years, but Absolutely. No defense is good enough to be on the field the amount of time they put them on the field against like an Auburn or an LSU. So I actually thought it would be in their benefit in the championship game last year and some of those other games against the SEC to slow things down, go to a huddle and call some plays and run more of a little bit more of a pro style. I mean, you can still do your hurry up at times. You can still go out of the shotgun and do the read, but slow it down, call smarter plays, and try to outmaneuver the teams and be physical on each play instead of just trying to like get to the line quicker and snap it before they know what they're doing.
Right. I completely agree. Again, you're making a lot of good points with Oregon. You know,
what I would say about Oregon is that I do think that last year was a great year of college football with a lot of strong teams. There are other years where the talent is not so good. And if Oregon can field a team like they did last year or the year before in one of those sort of down years, then I definitely think they could come away with a championship.
Yeah, I think that the University of Oregon can win a title at some point, but not with the current crazy uniform, high impact tempo. If they completely made a change to more of a normal, kind of offense, I think they have a chance. But I don't know. But
do you think they've matured beyond their style?
No, I just think that other teams have now seen years and years of film and footage, and they're able to figure out a way to really slow it down when it matters the most.
So Oregon isn't like the 45-year-old guy going to the bar wearing diesel jeans.
No, not so much.
Okay. They're just the guy who was moderately good-looking and was playing over his head.
Yes, that's exactly a perfect analogy. And now,
but Mr. North America has come into the bar and stolen their thunder.
North America is everywhere. Mr. North America was actually in Philadelphia last night for he was in Atlanta for the Eagles-Falcons game. I got some videos sent over.
I should say to the listeners, Mr. North America sounds like a generic term, but that's actually a person we know.
Yeah, it's valid. We used to be cool once.
He actually did win Mr. North America. I don't know what circumstance. It could have just been in some guy's van. Like, I'm not sure, but
it was a shady competition in like New Jersey. There was like some, you know, I'm not allowed to talk about the details. It's New Jersey.
Anyway, there's a trophy, which means it's legitimate.
Uh-huh.
All right. One more game before we move into other details, Dan. LSU, Mississippi State, a little bit of a slugfest. Some people could take this game as sort of neither of these teams are great. But to me, it shows the level of talent week to week in the SEC. And you just get beat up and beat around. And I am glad that Mississippi State came back at the end to get us a nice cover. But
yeah,
LSU
absolutely
looks decent. I underrated them. They've got a strong running game, a good defense. Still not convinced they can actually throw the ball. But they look like a solid standard LSU team, which could put them in the top 15 or top 10.
I think you're right again. Yeah, first of all, anyone who was not happy with the LSU-Mississippi State game is a complete idiot. That was great SEC football. Two powerhouse teams that could smash many other teams. I really liked LSU. They got a great running game, you're right. Mississippi State, still underrated. I mean, people thought that they're not going to have any chance at all. They came back, got a hell of a quarterback.
I think they've deteriorated since last year. I don't think they're going to be as good. But I do think they'll give some people problems and maybe pull a few upsets. A
few upsets, of course, somewhere, you know, and they'll, you know, move on to next year and be fine. But LSU is good. They're actually really good. I'm scared as an Auburn fan for this week. I'm sure we'll get to that later on.
So we had a lot of teams playing cupcakes in week two. Who of all the teams that we didn't just mention, who impressed you the most? Ohio State in a down week won 38-0. I thought for mailing it in, winning by 38 is still pretty impressive.
No, that's Hawaii, who was getting 8 points at home to Colorado. That's not impressive to me. Ohio State should have won 66-0. 38-0 is not going to cut it.
They mailed it in big time, though. People are talking about their QBs not playing well, but, man, I watched that whole game, and they didn't want to show Hawaii or future opponents anything. They mailed it in big time.
I'll tell you who I was surprisingly impressed of, and no one's going to think – people don't think I'm crazy, is Texas A&M. They played against Rice as a 30-point favorite, and they win, and they cover the spread, and you go, well – who cares? It's week two against Rice. But that is a hard game coming off that Arizona State game at, you know, the AT&T Stadium. It's very hard to come home and then still put up 66 or whatever points against, you know, an inferior opponent. That's still not easy. So good job for A&M to keep it rolling. That makes me like him even more. And we liked him a lot last week, so. I think we got A&M could be a top 10 team going forward.
That was my prediction. And of my four sleeper teams, they're the one I still feel good about. The other three we will get to later, but so I am far, going to retract good. One of them immediately. And okay. Two of them I'm a little unsure about.
I like it.
I would like to say kudos to BYU for winning on another Hail Mary, which was a gambling moment of the week for the second week in the row.
Amazing.
They hit that over, which I was not expecting them to get, and which we said bet the under last week. So we were right for all but 1 minute, and then we were dead wrong. But the way they've played without Taysom Hill, what's the guy's name? Tanner Mangum or something like that?
Close enough.
Whatever it is. They've had injuries. They have this new QB come in, and they're physical, and they're a tough team. And I predicted Boise to go 11-1 and make the I always want to say BCS, the NY6. So I still think Boise is going to be a very good team, and I think that was a quality win by BYU. And they've now got two quality wins, albeit via Hail Mary.
You're right.
So watch out for BYU. I think you could be talking about a 9 or 10 win team.
Okay. We'll see.
Dan, we've got breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Steve Patterson fired as AD of Texas. Now, we're recording on Tuesday. This won't go live till at least Wednesday. The rumor at this point is that Mack Brown may be replacing him. Let's keep it short because there will probably be new breaking news on this by the time people hear it. But want to tell people why that's a terrible idea?
Because as soon as you bring Mack Brown back, then people are going to want to fire Charlie Strong. And Mack Brown was there for many years. He won a title, but besides that, he faded out over the last 10 years. You have no chance of winning a national title if you bring Mack Brown back. But Texas is a complete mess. I don't know if Charlie Strong is actually going to make it after this year. I have a feeling that they might lure Chip Kelly possibly after this year to Texas. That's my Dan P. Shocker prediction.
That's a bold prediction. Philly looked pretty decent in Monday Night Football, even though they lost. You think he's going to get fired?
No, I think he's had enough of the whole NFL and how it works and, you know, VPs and executives. I got a little insider info on that from a source. Don't worry about that. I'm serious.
Dan, I think I ask this every year, but why the hell, if you were a great college football coach who could be at a proud program for a long time, why would you go to the NFL where the players don't respect you, you get paid much less than the players, nobody listens to you, and the expectations are just astronomical? Not that they're easy in college, but...
Or he can go, okay, it's the holiday season in Philadelphia. It's snowing sideways. I'm in Phil-a-fucking-delphia. Or I can go to Austin, which is one of the maybe top five coolest cities in the country, and be the king, like the actual king. You can walk around with a crown. if you just win 8 games. And he's going to win way more than 8 games. He'll put him up there with TCU and Baylor. So that's – sorry to get on a rant. But
no, Chip Kelly and Art Briles playing each other on a yearly basis would be unbelievable. Over, under, 108.
Over. Easy. Can't wait. But anyway, Texas is a train wreck. You'll see they're a 6.5-point home underdog to Cal this week. Can you believe that, Texas fans? Please don't jump off the roof yet. That's pretty bad, though.
Some one prominent Texas insider declared that the school was a total joke.
He's right. It's bad.
It's gotten real bad. Yeah, Mack Brown is a terrible choice. I don't think they'll actually do that, but if they do, they've made a terrible decision. Mack Brown was a decent coach. He won the championship with Vince Young, but his big problem was running the program, getting players, keeping it going, and keeping the continuity, which is now would be the total job of AD. So you'd take Mack Brown's strengths away and you would use only his weaknesses, which is a bad idea.
I think you're right.
All right, Dan. I think it's time to get into the lines unless you have anything else to say.
No, roll. Let's do it.
All right, let's roll through some week 3 lines. We got a Thursday night game, Clemson at Louisville. Louisville now 0-2 with the loss to surprisingly average Auburn and upstart Houston. Mm-hmm. By the way, congrats Tom Herman. We said last year that Tom Herman was one of the best hires, and he's looking to prove us right.
Yeah, I know. So far, so good. He's doing a great job, and that's exactly what we expected. It's going to keep going.
He's going to get that Houston into one of the major conferences.
Hell yeah, he is. You watch. 2 years.
So are we laying the 7 points with Clemson then because Louisville can't seem to get it together? Clemson doesn't look amazing either, but we haven't seen much out of them.
This is a really tough one. It's a Thursday night game. I hate betting road teams on Thursday night, as you know. And this is the whole Louisville season. First of all, hats off to Louisville for actually scheduling a pretty decent top, first 3 weeks. That's pretty hard. Auburn, and Houston, and then Clemson. That's kind of
hard. Yeah, not bad. Perhaps like an Ohio State or a USC could take some notes from that.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, but anyway. They really need a win. I can't lay the points with Clemson on a road. They've still been inconsistent. I don't know what's going on with them. I'm not taking Louisville either. This one's just a straight stay away.
All right, another one that I find somewhat dangerous is Florida State heading up to Boston College, where they have not fared well in recent trips. It's an 8-point line. Now, again, we're recording this on Tuesday. I checked the lines earlier Tuesday afternoon, so
you're good.
The lines shift around, and by the time you listen to this, they might be totally different, but I think dangerous to lay 8 with Florida State in BC, where they've struggled the last couple times they've gone there.
Very dangerous. It's a weird place to play. We've talked about it before. But the only thing going for Florida State is at least it's, September and fairly warmish in New England, and they're not going in November, when it's raining sideways and they've already played 9 games and they're a little bit, banged up.
80 degrees and sunny this weekend, Dan.
Yeah, and for that reason, if you know anything about me, Boston College is my least favorite college everything, period. So, therefore, as expected, lay it with Florida State. Simple as that.
You're not worried about Boston College's suffocating D that held Howard to only 11 yards?
No.
Okay. Yeah, Boston College might be in for a shock. One reason I'm tending to lean Florida State is that Boston College going from Howard to Florida State is like going from basically a high school to a semi-pro team.
I think you're right.
They might not be ready. It's essentially you're playing Madden. You play one game on the easiest level, and then immediately you put it up to the hardest level.
You're right. I know. That's a good analogy.
It's tough to make that switch.
Really tough.
So I'm staying away. I would not take Boston College with the 8, but I wouldn't lay it either with Florida. Maybe take the under, because I think Boston College will keep them low scoring, and Florida State's D, of course, is pretty good.
Okay, roll with it.
All right, moving on to Saturday. We've got Air Force at Michigan State. 26.5-point line. Noon game. Doris Burke will be in attendance, I'm sure.
She'll be there with her penis. All right, moving on.
I'm just gonna let that sit there.
Good, that's fine.
Doris Burke is a champion and a strong supporter of women's rights. The first woman in the booth. She's a trendsetter and a pioneer, Dan. And how dare you insult her?
Wasn't it like the similar story? Like the woman who was in charge of the NAACP, like pretended she was like black or Mexican, but she was a white chick or something.
Yeah, Doris Burke did not pretend to be black.
Okay, I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying that happened. Okay, Michigan State, moving on.
That's a lot of points in a semi-potential letdown week.
I'm never a fan of any of the Service Academy teams. But you are right, it's a hard spot coming off a super tough game.
Wait. You're going to have to elaborate on that before people get the wrong impression.
What? Oh, not a fan.
I'm not a fan of the Service Academy teams.
Well, for sports betting. Like, I'm not like saying I don't like the USA.
That's what I just want to clarify because sometimes people take things out of context.
It's great. I live here. I enjoy it. I went to this grocery store today. They had shit everywhere. I could buy a couch and a ham sandwich, and it was lovely. But I don't want to bet on Air Force ever, especially against a team with a quarterback to go in the NFL. So, but you are right, it's a tough spot, so I think it's a total stay away in this regard.
Yeah, Service Academy teams are tough to bet on because of their unique style of play. I think that's the shortened version of what you're getting at. Also, as Dan told me off air, ISIS has some good ideas. So
yeah, strong.
Or maybe I just made that up. All right, UNLV at Michigan. I couldn't find a line on this one.
34. 34 points. That's a lot. UNLV's a mess. They don't even really have a football team this year. Like, they hired a coach a couple years ago and thought he was going to be good and possibly change it around. Yay, Las Vegas, blah, blah, blah. No, he's gone. I don't think they even hired a new coach, even though I should definitely be the UNLV head football coach.
What would you do if you were UNLV's head football coach? How would you turn the program around? I want to hear A, recruiting style, and then B, style of on-field play.
I would recruit so hard. I would show them 18 and over clubs in Vegas. I would bring some questionable females, not personally with me, but I would say, hey, how about we meet at this cafe for coffee? And these chicks would just happen to be in there with like Vegas t-shirts on. Just a coincidence. Stuff like that. I mean, come on, if you're some horny 16-year-old kid, why the hell not go to UNLV? That's basically my pitch. And it's a crazy fun college. You get concerts there at the Thomas and Mack Center. There's an awesome In-N-Out Burger right there. You're 2 miles to the Strip off of Flamingo. It's cheap. Like, cost of living's low. If you move off campus, you can live cheap anywhere. There is no state tax because the casinos pay it. Bunch of reasons to go to UNLV.
Here's what I would do. I would embrace the fact that you're in Sin City, and I would go after every other good school's castaways. So when Sean Oakman gets kicked out of Penn State, I swoop in, and before Art Briles can pick him up, I grab him. When Randy Moss gets expelled from Notre Dame, I'm there next day. Come on to Vegas. We're cool with everything.
You would be the Jerry Tarkanian equivalent for football.
That's exactly what I would be.
It's not hard. Like, these people are trying to be like, well, we're the University of Nevada at Las Vegas. No, you're not. You're UNLV. Embrace the run and revs. That logo is amazing. I want to get one of those hats, by the way.
So I would hire Steve Sarkisian if he were ever to leave USC, and then I would have Tarkanian. His legacy, I would use that UNLV basketball team mantra, and it would be like, from Tark to Sark. And we get all these troubled players in.
Why are we not in charge? I mean, that's the better idea than those ADs have ever come up with. We came up with it in 2 minutes. I'm not joking. That's exactly what they should do. It would sell out the whole stadium. There's nothing. There's no pro teams there. They're freaking trying to move a hockey team to Vegas, which isn't going to work. Get involved in football, and there's sports betting down the street. Who the hell cares?
Yep, and then keeping with that mantra of sin and not giving a fuck and doing things your way. That this is when I hire my new favorite coaching prospect, Kevin Kelly of the Texas high school, the guy who never punts.
Yeah.
And I get him in there and I say that UNLV is the team full of thugs that never punts.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
And that's it. It's on.
So yeah, UNLV's has so much potential. They're not using it. As you can see this week, they're getting 34 at Michigan. They're really bad, but I don't know if Michigan can score that much. I mean, would you really be surprised if Michigan won like 38-7? No. So I'm going to stay away from this one.
Yeah, and we've talked about UNLV a lot. Kudos to Michigan for their big win. Impressive, dominating win at the Big House. Harbaugh's first win. I'm sure if you were a fan there, you were impressed to see it, and it was nice to look good again after the first time. And it's really been like 8 years since Michigan was good, Dan. So that's got to give you a little hope. I'm going to hold off on complimenting them too much until they've proven it in conference play. But things are looking on the up for Michigan as of now.
I agree.
Congrats. All right, Dan, speed round.
Oh,
our famous speed round, famous since last week.
It's really catching on. Okay, here we go.
All right, Dan, into the speed round.
All right. Sorry, restart that.
Dan, what are your thoughts on white people posting on Facebook straight out of whatever white person town they're in?
Horrible. Pretty stupid. Played out. It was funny for 5 minutes. I used the joke one time, made a girl laugh. We'll call it even.
I feel like all the jokes we used to make, you and I like gangster rap back in the early 90s. We were early adopters, so to speak. We were also 12, I think.
We were ahead of our time.
Actually, you may know this already, but for the listeners, the first CD I ever bought was The Chronic. And back then, as you youngins might not know, they had a thing called a radio edit, which was not like you hear today with a rap song. Kanye puts out a rap song, and there's all these swearing and gun references and drugs and sexual stuff, and they just sort of beep it out. And that's why it's funny. Some songs would just, like that Soulja Boy song, would just be 30 seconds of silence at the chorus. But back then, they used to record like a different version, and me being 11 or 12 years old, I didn't realize that the radio version wasn't the version on the CD. So I went and bought The Chronic. I went to the mall with my neighbor. I came back, I put it in my new CD player, and I go outside to wax my parents' car because I told them I would do that. And I put the boom box, I press play. And the first thing is like, you know, this should be played at high volumes, preferably in a residential area. And then Fuck with Dre Day comes on, the uncensored version. My mom comes flying out of the house, like makes a beeline to the stereo, like, what are you listening to? She took the CD out. She drove me to the mall and made me return it.
Oh, yeah. That is a true story. I can vouch for you on that.
And then 2 weeks later, I went back and bought it again.
That's correct.
But that was my first CD purchase. And I forgot the point of this, but everything we did when we were a kid is now coming back. And now it's considered cool. When we were doing it, nothing was cool.
That's right.
But now when it's too late for us, it's all people have caught on.
I love it.
All right. Northwestern at Duke. 3.5 point line.
Northwestern. Love them.
Yeah. Take the points. Illinois at North Carolina. Line opened around 6 and is now 9.5. So people don't have a lot of faith in Illinois, Dan.
No, me neither. I saw them play 2 years ago in a September road game here at Arizona State. They did not want to be here. They treated it like a vacation. Oh, darn, they're going to North Carolina? Lay it. They're going to get blown out.
Not to mention they don't have a real coach at this point.
They don't have a coach at all, period. That is correct.
Tulsa at Oklahoma, 30.5-point line. Oklahoma had a big win against Tennessee. We didn't mention this one, but kudos to Oklahoma. I keep saying kudos to everyone. I don't know why, but Tennessee played tough. Oklahoma looked like it was over. I think ESPN said they had a 3% chance of winning the game, and they hung in there, and they won. They took it to overtime. They won the game, and they didn't look good, but they accumulated a W. As we've said, the first 2 weeks, accumulate wins. That's all that matters. So congratulations. And Tennessee, you fucking blew it.
Yep.
You pieces of shit. No, I'm just kidding.
Butch Jones strikes again. There's just something wrong with him. We talk about it all the time. Like, sometimes you just look at a guy or a girl and you go, there's something not right with them, and you're always right. Like, they never prove you wrong and go, you know what? They were a great person. Zero times in my life.
Yes, the Malcolm Gladwell has a book called Blink, which basically says that your first intuition's almost always right.
I love that.
That might be a little too smart for college football betting podcast, but if you want justification for never doing homework and never formulating a solidly thought through opinion and always just going with your gut, just read that book. Then you never have to learn anything again.
Perfect. I love Tulsa in this spot. This seems like standard Oklahoma to win a semi-important game and then come home and lay an egg to a team from Texas or something that can, you know, somehow score some points. Love Tulsa in this point. Take the points all day. Never, ever lay this many points with Oklahoma. Never.
I'm concerned about this. Generally, I'd agree with you, but I think Tulsa's pretty bad this year.
It doesn't even matter. Like, this is standard Oklahoma. They're going to be somehow tied at 14 at some point in this game.
All right, last game of the speed round. This one's all you, Dan. Nevada at Texas A&M, minus 34.
I like A&M to keep rolling. Nevada sucks. Lay the points with A&M until they stop covering. Really, even though it's 34.5, I would lay it and try to get it before it gets to 35.
This one has first half line written all over it for me. Usually a first half line is going to be cut the line in half and add a couple points. So I think you're looking at about 20, maybe. I think Texas A&M comes out, gets off to a hot start, and it's over by halftime, hopefully.
Gotcha. I hope so. That's what I predict.
All right, Dan, your alma mater, the undefeated 2-0 Connecticut Huskies.
Which?
At Missouri. A little bit of a tougher test than the last 2 weeks.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about. I was looking at both polls, and I don't see any votes for UConn. So I don't know what these pollsters are looking at, but they're not looking at the right stuff because they're underrated. No, they're going to get absolutely smashed this week. Lay the 21 with Missouri, but if you want to get crazy with it, maybe put in a teaser, but we'll talk about that later.
Missouri was one of my four sleeper picks. I am not going to go back on that one, but their performance hasn't exactly impressed me, so I'm putting them on alert. If they don't improve, I'm removing them from my sleepers list.
Nobody wants that. Wake up, Mizzou.
Yes, the way I do my predictions is if you suck, then I go back and retroactively take them away. So get it together, Missouri, and start playing like the SEC East champ that I think you should be. And start by beating the shit out of Connecticut. Or don't, because I live in Connecticut, so it'd be awesome to see them beat you. But, you know, it's your life, Missouri.
I agree.
Dan, we live in a world where UConn and Syracuse are both undefeated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Syracuse is favored by 7 at home against Central Michigan.
I know. It's a crazy world we are living in.
All right, Jamiroquai.
Thank you. That was the unintentional Jamiroquai reference, but somehow subliminally is intentional. I just didn't know about it. This podcast is getting weird. I like this one. Syracuse is laying 7. They got outgained. They had less first downs than you know what happened last week against Wake Forest and somehow still won. SU Magic, probably keeping it going, but I will not put 1 cent of my not really hard-earned money on them. So I will stay away.
Georgia State at Oregon. Does Oregon bounce back? Do they have a little bit of a letdown after exerting all their energy? 46 points is a lot of points.
Too many points. Can't do it.
All right. Let's get through some more quickly. Speed round. I don't know if the speed round was supposed to stop at some point, but it seems like we're just powering through.
Keep it going, and then we'll nail the big ones at the end.
All right, La Tech, the team we love this year.
Take
at
it.
Kansas State. Kansas State, 9.5-point favorite.
Oh, this is easy. New quarterback at Kansas State, not really that much of an explosive offense. Take the 9.5 with Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, when you say new quarterback, their QB is out for the season with an injury. So this is a backup, a guy who wasn't taking snaps over the summer.
Yep, they're in trouble.
Take the points.
All day.
All right. Temple, the 2-0 upstart, looking good Temple with wins over Penn State and Cincinnati, Dan.
Impressive. Very.
Now, before you give your pick, Temple plays at UMass and is a 10.5-point favorite. I would like to formally retract my pick of UMass as a sleeper team. UMass, you fucking suck. You look like you were hanging tight with Colorado for a couple of quarters, and then you lost by, what, 28? You just totally, the wheels came off the wagon. So I'm officially out on UMass. I would like to see them do well. They've got a senior quarterback and a lot of returning talent. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen, and that's why I say lay it with Temple.
Of course. UMass is not good. Us UConn Huskies like to call them ass. We just put the space one spot over. Little hint for you. Don't like UMass. Don't like people that went to college there except for John Villali. He's a great guy. Stay away from them the rest of the year.
Memphis at Bowling Green, two surprisingly good non-Power 5 teams. Memphis favored by 3.
I like Memphis. They're underrated, and I would side with them.
Do you know the over-under in this game? Would you like to guess?
No, just give it to me.
79.
See, with an over-under that high, you normally want to take the points. In this regard. So, yeah. Wow, that's a lot of points.
Jeez. Yeah. And that's going to go up because I can't see anybody wanting to – you can't feel comfortable betting an under with Memphis and Bowling Green.
No.
Ever. Even at that high. So I see that getting into the 80s by game time.
Wow. That's going to be crazy. Look out for that one.
From there, we go to a 48-point over-under, Virginia Tech at Purdue. Virginia Tech by 6. Think they bounce back?
I have no clue. Stay away. Move on. This game's horrible.
Yeah, I don't know how that made my list. That's an error on my part. I think I forgot to delete that one. What I do, Dan, is I copy over all the lines, and then I go through and delete the ones I don't want to talk about. So that one slipped through, and I apologize to the listeners. Here's a game that I do want to talk about at length, possibly.
Oh.
Georgia Tech, America's finest robotics program and also a football team, goes to Notre Dame. And they are favored by 3. Now, Notre Dame they lost Malik Zaire. If you watch that game, we now know DeShone Kizer is the new starting QB. He had a nice touchdown pass at the end. He's highly touted, but he is a freshman. And Notre Dame now has 5 starters out for the season.
Yeah, a lot of hard injury luck. Because Notre Dame actually was looking as good as they ever have under Brian Kelly. And that includes the team that went to the national title game. They were playing great football.
How many injuries can a team like Notre Dame handle before it just goes down the drain?
Depends on the position, but probably 3 or 4. Once you get over that, it's too hard.
I wouldn't count them out for the season, but any shot at a playoff, I think you can pretty much pencil them out at this point.
I'll tell you what, but next year they'll be really highly ranked. They'll be a top 5 team to start the year next year. So just hang in there, Notre Dame. Have fun with this year. Hopefully, a lot of their younger players gain some experience and will kind of mesh with the older guys or the guys coming back from injury anyway, and they'll be good for next year. But I like Georgia Tech in this game. Notre Dame lines are always skewed because of their popularity in Vegas. This is another example of that. So I like Georgia Tech to win by at least a touchdown.
What would the line be if Notre Dame wasn't Notre Dame?
Be Georgia Tech minus a touchdown.
I really like Georgia Tech this year. I really think they have a legitimate shot at winning the ACC and perhaps at this point should be considered the favorite. We'll see after this week, though, if they're for real. And Notre Dame, I like them too, but too many injuries. It caught up to them toward the end of that Virginia game. They had that in hand in the first half, and then it started to slip away. DeShone Kizer is he's a good, talented guy. He's young, though, and he's going to make mistakes, especially when he has to go on the road against some tough teams. I've noticed now we're both in agreement that ESPN analysts, and not just ESPN, but all sports analysts pretty much are horrible, except for a select few guys. I already see guys saying, well, if Cardale Jones could come in and win a national championship, there's no reason DeShone Kizer can't do the same. It's like people need to understand that Cardale Jones, first off, was surrounded by an incredible team. And secondly, was a freak of nature. That doesn't usually happen.
No, it's so stupid. And they put so much unfair expectation on these kids. I mean, they're 18, 19 years old. I mean, I can't even handle that stuff at 34, and I think I got my stuff together, you know? So I can't even imagine being an 18-year-old kid with some asshole on ESPN going, why isn't he the next title winner? Fuck you, you know? Just relax.
Exactly. So lay the three, Georgia Tech. Got a 55-point over-under. I'm tempted to take the over, hook it there.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Now, we talked about horrible analysts, but one of the few good guys is my man, Phil Steele. And he had a little tip on Twitter today about this next line.
Uh-oh.
Cincy at home is favored by 19 against Miami of Ohio, which, coming off a loss to Temple, you're going to think that's a little bit too much to be laying against a MAC team and their sweet MACtion. But Miami of Ohio apparently has not scored in the last 9 quarters at home against Cincy. Or is it on the road against Cincy? I don't know. They haven't scored in the last 9 quarters of this game. So I think maybe they will score, but you have to think Cincy should have a pretty big advantage in this game. And that's why I think I might make a small wager on Cincy to bounce back.
I'm going with Phil Still. I mean, he's a smart guy. He knows. Phil's a genius.
His stats are so elaborate that I can't even like read them or keep them straight.
He's a really, really smart guy. Really smart.
All you have to do is, like, you don't even have to read it. If he says Cincy, it's Cincy.
You're right.
He's the only person this season who predicted USC to be one of the top teams, and they're looking pretty damn good, which we'll get to later.
Phil's a smart guy. He's been doing this a lot of years. Go with him.
He's also got, I was telling one of my friends, you know the guys who are really good at what they do when they don't care about, like, their appearance or, you know, they don't care about looking cool. Like, Phil Steele goes on air with his 80s mustache and his suit that's like 3 sizes too big. And he just spouts off information. And he can do that. Every other guy's got to wear like a nice designer suit that was paid for by somebody. Phil Steele's on his webcam from Cleveland, just like giving him knowledge. And everybody knows he's the best, so he can do that.
Yep, exactly.
That's my dream, is to be so good at something one day that I could do that. I don't even have to show up. I can just like webcam in from Hartford and be like, yeah, let me tell you about content management on web design.
You're out of your mind.
People pay me like $1 million to do that.
Be decent.
It's my dream, Dan. If this whole free podcasting thing doesn't work out.
All right. Well, you know, I'll keep my fingers crossed for you, Z.
All right, Nebraska at Miami, Florida. 3.5-point line in favor of Miami. Seems to me like this one should be a little bit closer.
Oh, that's really tough. I'll take the 3.5 and hope for a really tight game.
I'd put this in my head at a pick 'em. I know that lines are not exactly supposed to be how much better a team is. I know it's about equal gambling action, but to me, these teams are exactly even.
You are correct.
Take the points.
I agree.
Ohio State hosts Northern Illinois, keeping that tough schedule going.
Rolling right through it.
You think they'll win this one by 35?
Yeah, this is probably the freaking week they'll cover after their egg laying of last week. And Northern Illinois always scores a little bit of points, and they have a shitty defense. So this should be the like 66-10 game. There's always one, so I would like an Ohio State overhook if I was you.
I think so. I think the fact that they won 38-0 against Hawaii and people were not satisfied means that they have no choice but to blow out Northern Illinois.
It's going to be real ugly real early.
Big game, Dan. Big game. Your Auburn Tigers, your new favorite team the last 2 years, at the feisty LSU. Did you think a couple weeks ago that this line would be LSU -7? I know it's in Death Valley, but Auburn's supposed to be a top 4 team.
Not that high. I thought it would be LSU minus a field goal or so. But after the last 2 weeks, you got to make this line 7. I think that's fair.
So break it down for us.
Ooh, LSU's got a superpower running game, best in the SEC, better than Alabama's running game. Defense is just loaded with NFL prospects as usual. Nothing's ever changing there. Quarterback's not going to do anything crazy, but he's not going to lose you any games, it looks like, right now. On the flip side, Jeremy Johnson looks like a wreck. He's throwing just horrible picks, missing reads. I think there's just way too much hype going to his head. I think, you know, it's kind of what we talked about before. They expect this guy to be Cam Newton, and Cam's a freak of nature. He's Superman. I mean, even I fall into it comparing him to Cam Newton, where I should never have said that, you know? So, but they got some issues, but it's an SEC game. We talked about this. Take the points. Unless you're 100% sure, and I'm not 100% sure, LSU can always score. And keep in mind, Auburn still scored at least 21 points in every single game Gus Malzahn's coached. So if you figure they scored 21 and you're giving me 7, that's 28. Is LSU going to score 29? I don't know. So I'm going to take the 7.
I think you said it perfectly. I don't really have anything to add. I feel like I should add something because it's a big game, but I'm not going to. Let's just move along.
Yeah.
Another Phil Steele tip. He's been on fire today, Dan. Utah State has lost 32 straight games to Power 5 teams when they're on the road. Doesn't sound like that could be true, but again, he said it, and I'm too lazy to verify it. So
he's right. We don't need to verify anything.
So when Utah State goes to Washington this weekend and Washington's laying 5.5, I think you got to lay it.
It's as simple as that. Phil Steele told us, and we're just going to take it and move on.
What do you think is happening or is going to happen in the next year or two with Chris Peterson in Washington?
He's either going to quit or be fired. It's coming to the end.
Why do you think he took this job? And I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the podcast. Why did he take this job, and why leave Boise State when they were doing so well? And I'm sure he got better offers. Like, does he have a secret mistress in Washington, or he doesn't have family from there, does he?
No, I have no idea. There's something that's just that doesn't make sense. He could be from there. I don't know. But if he's going to leave, you know, for another program, I mean, he should have left for like USC or Oregon or something, you know, to win a national title or at least try. He's never going to do it at Washington. Washington's never been that great our entire life. I mean, the highest they ever were ranked was like 8th in like 1993, I think.
No, I think they won a share of the title, didn't they? Or they were very close in 1990. Not that is still 25 years ago.
5 years, man.
That's when it was still funny to say you're straight out of wherever.
That it was because it was fresh, but now it's old as shit.
I'm with you, though. I don't know why he went there.
It's fishy. He made a bad decision. He's going to leave. He might even go back to Boise. I mean, they would fire their head coach in a second. I mean, I don't even know if it's his friend. It probably is. Who the hell knows? The whole thing got weird. He should have stayed there and just retired and been a god. This is what happens when you have an ego that you can't control in life.
Come to UConn, Chris.
Just come on over.
Come to Syracuse. We'll take you.
You don't want to go there. It's the Rust Belt. It's horrible.
You don't want to, but they'll love you.
They will wash your feet every day.
Dan, what's your like bottom city you would move to if you were going to be considered a god in that city? Would you go to Cleveland?
Yes, because I can go to hang out with freaking LeBron.
Would you go to Syracuse?
No, there's no one there cool to hang out with.
But you were going to be considered a god for the rest of your life.
Not there. It's
You're just, the new Jerry McNamara.
I can't do it. Like, I can do Montana, like Bozeman, Montana. I can do that, but I can't do Syracuse, New York. I just can't do it.
Why Bozeman and why not Syracuse?
I don't know. It sounds nice. I've seen pictures of Montana. It looks lovely. And I'm on the West Coast still. Syracuse is... It was a nice place to grow up, and it was doing good in the 80s and 90s, but nothing ever changed, and it looks pretty bad.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You are a god. You are the singer of the band Fuel now.
Oh, my God.
From Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Would you do it?
I'm going to say yeah. And I don't like it.
All right. I don't think we need to go any lower with that.
Okay, you're good.
South Carolina. Man, the ball coach is not looking good.
Well.
Dan.
Well.
I'm going to get fired.
Well.
It's only a matter of time.
Well.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Kids are too young and crazy. I can't keep them under control.
Well.
Georgia looks pretty good. They struggled a little against Vandy, but they got the solid win. I've totally lost track now. Dan, I lost track of what I'm saying. I'm the ball coach.
Well.
So do we take Georgia minus 17?
No. Old ball coach always has one or two upsets or close games. This smells like a ricked ball coach. Go out for cigars and steaks on Friday night. Secret handshake. Keep this game close. I'm telling you, take South Carolina. I love it.
Is this your new theory with Mark Richt that he secretly talks to other coaches? Because he's known as such a nice guy,
I'm telling you.
He lets
Friday
a couple other coaches win.
Look, this year I'm going to let you guys beat us, but next year when we have no one because they're all going to the draft, I need to beat you on the road. They're like, damn it. Okay, that's a deal. That's a handshake because we're going for a title this year. He's like, sounds good because I'm going to go 9-3 and no one's going to give a shit.
If that's true, Mark Richt would be a genius. He figured out a way to go 9-3 every year and keep his job in perpetuity.
It's a pretty good shady conspiracy theory.
It's not bad. Okay. All right. So, yeah. So Kentucky looks good, by the way. I don't know if they're on my list, but they're looking good. There's really only one bad team left in the SEC. So congrats, SEC.
Moving on.
Texas Tech at Arkansas. Anything to say about Arkansas?
Arkansas can't score any points. Luckily, this week they play the team with the worst defense in the history of college football, literally, so far. So look for them to score points, but they'll also be able to shut down Texas Tech. It's weird, but this is a stay away. Is this the kind of game where you want to kind of look and see what Arkansas does and move on? Because coming off that loss, who knows what the hell could happen this week.
I wrote this down because I was amazed. It didn't seem right. I didn't watch much of Arkansas-Toledo, only the very end. But Brandon Allen, his stats, you hear that they lost 16-12 against Toledo. You know, what would you guess his stats would be? You're thinking probably 13 of 18 for 112. 32 of 53 for 412 yards. How do you do that and score 12 points and lose to Toledo? It's almost impossible.
It's like they were hanging out with the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Patriots. Horrible red zone, play calling, stupid penalties. So against Texas Tech, though, they can just walk up and down the field.
Stick to the run, Brett Bielema. It's what you're good at.
He's an idiot. Can't wait till he gets fired. We'll have a party. We'll do a little special thing when he gets fired in a couple of years. Looking forward to it.
All right, Dan, who's on the hot seat the most of all coaches?
Ooh, well, the old hot seat was the Virginia coach, but he got bailed out with a couple season-ending injuries and got to win. So he gets a temporary cool-down. He got put on the ice box for a couple weeks. But the other hot seat, oh, this is tough. Charlie Strong's on the hot seat. I don't care what anyone says.
I can't buy into that yet.
I'm going to say the old ball coach is a little bit on the hot seat. Let's think here. Give me a second.
I got to think Larry Fedora's on the hot seat if UNC doesn't have a good season.
Yeah, that's – yeah, I thought –
I got to think Al Golden's on the hot seat if Miami doesn't do well.
Al Golden's pants are on fire. That's how hot that seat is. He's the number one. Dude, this is freaking Miami, and, you know, the U, and this is the 30 for 30. U part two is out. People – dude, ESPN just shows a loop of U coverage. So – the whole country is now, you know, mentally programmed to assume that they're still the 90s or 80s and even 2000 Miami. But they've been bad for a while. They should be great. They have a great amount of talent right in their backyard. Al Golden looks like a weird guy with his old school thick tie. Players don't want to go play there. They play in a weird stadium. It's half empty. It rains every day. I don't know. But he's getting fired at the end of the year. I'll tell you who else, if they don't turn around, is Mike Gundy needs to be on watch. Because T-Boone Pickens is worth way too much money not to go play in this Final Four. I'll tell you that. That's the absolute truth.
I agree with you there, although I do think Gundy would have good prospects if he were to be let go. He'd have another job the following day.
Of course. But know that he works for a guy who has got more money than anybody. So when you work for a guy that's got more money than anyone, he expects the best. And 8-5, 8-4 ain't going to cut it for how much money he pours into that college.
I agree. Two things quickly. I'm really glad that Al Golden didn't ever become the coach of Penn State, which was a rumor at one time. I'm really glad they got Bill O'Brien because he's cool as hell if you've seen Hard Knocks. And he kept that program afloat when they could have been terrible. Secondly, when you just mentioned the 30 for 30s with the U and now the whole Straight Out Compton thing's back, this is the perfect time for Miami to turn back into the 80s Miami. Or if they are not willing to pick up the slack, we're back to UNLV. That's the perfect example. We were making this UNLV thing up as if we had come up with it, but really what we're suggesting is they become 80s Miami.
You're right.
So do it.
Same thing. I know. It's very simple. I mean, they are losing all their players to Florida State and the SEC, and they got to bring them back down. There's no reason to you know, not have them stay right in their backyard and play. It's absurd. So bad job by you, Al Golden. Horrible, horrible, horrible recruiter. Got to get someone with some charisma, like Kevin Sumlin, or even, you know, like, I don't know, Nick Saban. But obviously he's not going to go there. But, you know, it's got to be someone with some sort of passion. And Al Golden just looks like a stiff, an absolute statue standing there. I don't like him.
Kendall Briles.
Smart guy.
I assume Art's not available, so now Kendall Briles is my number one suggestion for every school.
You're right.
He's only coached about 4 games, but I don't care. He's got that Briles blood in him.
He's ready to score 70.
All right, Dan. Ultra lightning speed round. Just give me your quick thoughts. Cal at Texas.
Late with Cal. Texas is a total, complete mess.
San Jose State at Oregon State. Is Oregon State terrible this year? I think maybe this is a good take the points opportunity.
They are bad, but Vegas has adjusted to how bad they are after losing to Portland State in week one. San Diego State is perpetually a total mess.
San Jose State, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, but that's what I meant, the Spartans.
Speaking of which, though, Dan, San Diego State, I caught a little bit just before we did the podcast, but they're in some trouble for some sort of violation. I don't have the details, but I think we can assume if San Diego State gets busted for some sort of recruiting violation that every school in America is doing it. Fair assessment?
Absolutely.
All right, so we should just get rid of recruiting violations then.
Yes, that. And this is a complete stay away is what also we're trying to say.
All right, SMU at TCU.
A lot of points. Tough to score a million points 2 weeks in a row. Total stay away because if there's a gun to my head, I'd take SMU, but I'm not betting against TCU right now.
You can get an over-under at 67 right now. I think I would take the over. Well, yeah. Dan's got the finger up to the skies, up to the heavens. Take the over.
If the over-under is a number that you think one team can score, usually fire it.
All right, Iowa State at Toledo. Any chance of a letdown for Toledo after the big win?
Of course, but I don't know enough. Stay away.
And last one, you don't need to pick this game, but it's Northern Arizona at Arizona. I don't think I've gotten your take on the Wildcats yet this year, Dan. Are they any good?
Haven't had a chance to really watch them. I know that they had some injuries. Scooby Wright's out for the year, and he's maybe the best defensive player in the country and was going to go top 10 in the NFL draft. He's their stud linebacker. That's an absolute killer. Feel bad for him, bad for Arizona. This line, I believe, is in the 11, 12, 13 range. That's about right. Tough for Arizona. I'm going to stay away again. I have to.
Florida at Kentucky. This is now a 3.5-point line only. Florida's favored. Florida's won 28 straight games against Kentucky, but this Kentucky team does not look like your average Kentucky team.
No, it's true, but it's still Florida and it's still Kentucky. Until further notice, I got to go with the numbers. Take Florida.
All right, I'll take this one, and then we'll break down a couple games at the end. Rutgers at Penn State. Penn State's now a 10-point favorite. Christian Hackenberg sacked 0 times against Buffalo. 0. What Penn State fans have been waiting for the entire last 2 years.
Yes.
Nevertheless, Rutgers, although they're having big problems there, Chris Christie had to come in and say, like, don't make fun of my Rutgers team. It's not good when you got to call the governor in, especially when he's, like, in the middle of a presidential campaign. He's got to stop to talk about Rutgers football. Nevertheless, and this is a home game, Penn State's looking better. You can't take Penn State by 10. So this is a total stay away. The over-under is only 45, so that's a little bit too low, even though I like Penn State unders, generally speaking. I will not let you bet on this. As I've said, our listeners are not allowed to bet on Penn State until I say it's okay, and I am not giving you the okay yet. All right, Dan, we got 3 big games, but first, you have a very important message for people about the state of Colorado.
Yes, I've been keeping a close eye on you, Colorado. Now that I live in Arizona and you're very close, we kind of touch, I'm going to start paying attention to see what's going on up there. And as we talked about before, there's something shady going on. Colorado has won 3 road games since 2007 by a combined 7 points. This week, they're facing their arch rivals in Colorado State, and they're laying 4 on the road. Look, Colorado might win by 21, and I don't care. But over the past 8 years, if this spread's covered every single time they had a road game, you just got to take it. So take Colorado State plus 4. Enjoy. Free pick of the week.
Colorado State, new coach, new quarterback. I think that might account for your line.
Don't care.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's probably why it is.
They might lose by 30, or they're going to win straight up. So be it.
All right. Brigham Young at UCLA. Can BYU keep the magic going, or is Josh Rosen Heisman favorite? Is he going to be too much? I saw the line was at 16 earlier today.
This seems to be the week where the BYU magic runs out, but I don't trust UCLA. I trust them probably less than any other team in all of college football. They perpetually, every year, have been known to tease you. Take the 16.5. For sure.
I like BYU, and I'm not ashamed of it, damn it.
You Mormon? Dude, you come out here to Arizona. There's Mormons everywhere. You'll be great.
Mormons are cool as hell. They get a bad rap because their religion's weird and fake. But all the ones that I've ever met are really nice, really great people. Mormons donate more to charity than any other religion. The state of Utah is the number one most charitable state by percentage. So they're good people out there. They're good, solid folk. They're not like the heathens of Los Angeles. And that's why I'm taking Brigham Young. Also the fact that they're physical, and I don't think UCLA's faced a test like them in quite a while. I think the young Josh Rosen will struggle when he gets pushed around a lot. I think UCLA pulls away late, wins by maybe 12 to 14 points, but doesn't quite cover. But BYU looks pretty impressive. Take the points.
I like it.
Stanford at Southern Cal.
Ooh.
Is USC for real? Hard to tell. They haven't really played anyone.
And they're not going to play anybody this week either. Stanford's horrible. They got no people back on defense. Kevin Hogan, Zach Mills, too. It's not good. Watch for USC to really lay the wood to them, and people will see the name Stanford and overreact to the beatdown. But they're just not a good team this year. The Stanford run might be over. The little 6-7 year run with Harbaugh into David Shaw. And this might get ugly. Or watch, Stanford will probably win outright. But anyway, this is the Dan P. Lock of the Week, folks. USC -9.5. Take it to the bank.
Dan, what happened to the party in the backfield? Is it over? Did the cops come?
Well, the cops are there. They're not happy with what they see, and they're just going to send everyone home.
No, are they going to give them a warning and maybe let the party continue, or is the party over?
Party's over. The party's been shut down. They, you know, everything was going good, and then You know, we had some hip hop on, everything was fine, then someone had to play Linkin Park, and we had to shut the whole party down.
There's no way to respond to that, so let's move along to the game of the week.
Right,
I
you got.
think, Dan, that Ole Miss is severely underrated at 15th in the country. I think that is a misranking based on faulty preseason rankings. I think they are a top 10 team. However, we all know the number one rule of take the points is do not bet against Alabama unless you are damn sure of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So Alabama's favored by 7 at home in this game, a night game, a 9:15 Eastern game, which the SEC seems to be doing this year, which is strange.
I love it.
But anyway, yo, it's great for you because
Yeah, it
it's
is.
early evening.
6:15 start for me.
For me now, I got to stay up till 2 in the morning to watch all the games.
That's right. Deal with the East Coast.
Yeah. I gotta be tougher, I guess. Gotta quit being soft. Soft
Yeah.
core, as Spillett would say.
Well, you all are.
What do you think?
This line is weird to me. I'm really surprised this line isn't 9.5, not 6.5. I think people would still take Alabama as long as it's in single digits, which is why I'm confused. I would have liked to take Ole Miss over a touchdown, but with a quarterback with only two career starts, both at home against cupcakes. This is Alabama, man. First road game you're going to play here? Really? Lay it with Alabama. They're going to beat them.
Now the line is, I just checked the line on this and it's up to 7. So you get your touchdown. The young QB is of the Jim Kelly bloodline, so of course he is a golden god in my eyes. I like Ole Miss a lot. I think they are a super talented team. I think they're playing like one of the 5 best teams in the country right now, at least one of the 8 best teams. But you're right. In terms of gambling, gambling rules are a little bit different, as we've said many times, and you just can't go against an unproven QB on the road against the team that's dominated the division and the conference for the last 10 years.
Completely correct. I like Ole Miss. This is just the worst possible spot for them to be in. If they played Alabama later, had a couple road wins under their belt, or at least a close game where they persevered, but come on, they didn't play anybody and they scored 150 points. But tough spot. Roll
We're
Tide
forgetting,
sucks.
yeah, we're forgetting the number one thing that we should have mentioned is this is a big time revenge game, Dan.
You're right. It
Revenge for
is.
last year.
That's another
Alabama
reason.
went to Ole Miss and Ole Miss beat them late on a Laquon Treadwell touchdown catch, as
You're
many of us
absolutely
remember. And so I think Alabama's going to remember that. If not, Nick Saban surely will remind them.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to lay it to them, but I think Ole Miss bounces back after this loss. I think they'll win quite a few. All right, Dan.
Sorry, I have one other thought. The over under in that game is only 49.5. I like the over.
In a tough fought SEC night game, I don't
Yeah.
know. Is this a new SEC where we're seeing lots of points?
I think with the new quarterback, Mississippi State, there'll be some sort of either big plays or turnovers. Alabama will get some splash plays here and there. It's a night game, so there'll be 8 million commercials. We've seen this before. I just think 49 is not that hard to get to in college football anymore. So I'm gonna like, I do like the over.
Okay, let me give a quick shout out to the Watch ESPN app, which was horrible last year and now is really good. A lot of games available, including some of the ABC games. I'm a recent cord cutter of cable, and football season was really going to be the challenge. And the ESPN app has been the saving grace. Otherwise, I would have had to go back to cable already. I'm going to ride it out for a few more weeks and see how it goes. But that Watch ESPN app. And
Really
especially if you
good.
get Sling TV and you can use your Sling TV login to get all the games. It's good. Good stream, good feed, no interruptions, no downtime. Congrats, ESPN. You're on
I'll try.
the vanguard of technology. Good work.
I like it.
Almost makes up for all your analysts being horrible.
It
All right, Dan, it is time for the famous four-team teaser.
is. All right, folks, here we go. This is
So explain the rules once again because we've gotten new listeners the last few weeks.
what you do is you pick four teams or four games, point spreads that you like. It could be totals or over-under. It pays out the same amount as a standard, you know, wager on one bet. It's a one-to-one bet. But you have to win all four. But the good news is you can change the point spread by 13 points. Last week I got 3 out of 4 right, which is standard. I got the over in Ohio State as my last one. I teased that down to about 45, and of course 38-0. But this week I'm feeling very, very strong about this, and I'm going to make up for it right now. Here we go. First one, we're going to take USC at home plus 3.5 against Stanford. They're going to win the game, so I'm not even worried about it. And if for some reason they lose, it's not going to be more than 3 points. I'm going to take Alabama at home plus 6.5. Same thing. I would be worried of a 7-point win, but I really don't think Ole Miss is ready for what they're about to see. I'm going to take Missouri minus 8 points against UConn for a bunch of different reasons.
That one needs no explanation, Dan.
That is correct. And the final one, I'm going to take Arizona State minus 15 against New Mexico at home. It's on the road. This is the game where Arizona State gets healthy and they score 66 points. And we'll tease that down from basically 4 touchdowns to 2 touchdowns, and we'll be good to go.
All right, Dan, normally I tell you where you're wrong, but feel pretty good about all those, and we're over time, so I'm just going to end it. Takethepoints.net is our website. You can listen on iTunes and on your iPhone app. Anything else you want to throw in before we call it a day?
Last week we talked about Unknown Mortal Orchestra a little bit at the end. If you haven't listened to that, do it again. Other thing to listen to, Mac DeMarco. I don't know if you listen to Mac DeMarco. Do you listen to him, Tom?
I've never heard of that person or band.
It sounds like a rapper, doesn't it? No, it's a white dude from Canada who's like 24, but he lives in Brooklyn. He's like 25 now. Very cool. Huge fan. I'm going to see him in October in Tucson. Check out Mac DeMarco. Listen to Blue Boy and, Annie. That's a good one.
All right. I'm going to make a Spotify Take the Points playlist at some point this season.
That's a great idea. I'll start adding tracks.
All right, Dan, hit us up on LinkedIn. Recommend Dan for social media marketing.
Preferred LinkedIn connection.
And we will be back next week. We'll see you then.
Take the point. Take the point. Take the point. Take the point. Take the point.